You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Jesus said He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I remember the day when we first left and started having services over in Greenville, Texas. I remember for a period of time, I would drive out of my audition, drive out onto 751, and instead of going to Greenville, I would turn and automatically come to Wills Point. And I'd have to turn and make a U-turn and say, wait a minute, I'm going to the other direction. And so this morning as I'm driving, I'm just so excited about being here. I'm meditating on the service, meditating on the things that I want to share this morning. And I pull out and I get about halfway down 751 going toward Greenville when I remembered I'm not going to Greenville this morning. I will say that my wife would love to have been here this morning, but since I am here, she is preaching there. So she got up this morning sharing with me when I crawled out of bed, she was just sharing with me her whole message this morning. It was good. I wish I had taken notes on it. I'd preach that message. It was a really good message. And she's preaching on the heart this morning. But she preaches every service. In fact, Pastor Mike, I know y'all give him at least 45 minutes to preach. At least. You know, at our church, I have to split my time with Tammy because she gives a sermonette, and I joke with her about it all the time. Tammy, you know, you're getting up to do the announcements. But she encourages the people, and I think most of the people that are coming to church are here wanting to come to the first message than they are the second message. So, I praise God that God has blessed me with a godly woman, a godly wife that loves the Lord with all of her heart. I've been used to being at church and on Sunday morning for the last year at 8 o'clock in the morning. We are pioneering or beginning a new work that's going to be a ministry outside of the church or from the church, and it's called Day 3, which is a ministry that we're working on and we're developing, and that taking that spirit of the scarlet thread and trying to bring unity in the body of Christ. How many know that we need unity in the body of Christ? Let me just see if I'm in the right crowd. Do we recognize that we're living in the last days? Amen. Church, we're living in the last days. I mean, Jesus came in the end time, and Paul was preaching about living in the last days. Here we are in 2014. We are living, I believe, in the last of the last days. Now, we need to be aware of that. Let's don't get lulled to sleep, and let's don't get to a place where we just forget about that. That needs to be in our thoughts all the time, because if you'll remember that, it will compel you into action for doing something for the kingdom of God. You'll get busy. You'll be just like others that said that they just went and they were working and they're playing and they're going about their lives and they're not thinking about it. That's one reason why we come to church. We come to church to remind ourselves that we're in the body of Christ and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and we're living in the last days, and it's time that we get busy for the cause of Christ. Now, that's a great cause, and that's a great thing for us to rise up into, is the call that God has on our life. So we've been meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we've been talking about things. We've been writing some documents and writing some things that we can formulate. You say, well, that's a long time to meet. When are you going to have your first meeting? Well, we have been sitting around the round table talking about this thing for a year, about the blessing of God. And through this, we are talking outside the church to all different pastors and different communities, and different ones that we were talking to have been really excited about being a part of something like this. You know what it is? It was an opportunity for us to just share Jesus. Now, the Bible says that we minister, we are witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we are starting in our Jerusalem. We meet once a month between 30 and 40 pastors. We get together in a local assembly in one of the different churches in Greenville. We have a time of fellowship, and we talk about the needs that church has. We pray over the different churches in the community. See, we're taking back the community in which we live in. So we talk about community in unity. We also talk about unity in community. Psalms 133 says this, that where there is unity, you start that off where he said he poured out the oil. He said where there is unity, he said there is a blessing. And God always brings blessing when there is a unity involved. Listen, unity for the cause of Christ. God brings a supernatural blessing. You say, I want God's hand. I want the supernatural element of God. Well, let's unify with the gospel. Amen. I've been preaching as I've been talking for the last several services. I started a series about evangelism, And so today you're going to get part of a message that I have been sharing over at Will's Point over at Faith Outreach. Amen. I was talking to them several weeks ago about 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Everybody know that scripture. We don't have to turn there. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? Pray. I think they talked about that this morning in Sunday school class. Sister Amanda was talking about that standing here. We need to be a people that's praying. What does that prayer mean? We're calling on God. We need to be a people that's calling on the Lord, that's communing with the Father all the time. See, He's looking for people to assemble Himself, to come back around, to quit saying, I got this, Lord. That we're talking to the Lord. We're getting direction from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to leave the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, He's leading, He's guiding us. Now, we've got to follow. So now we humble ourselves, we pray, and we turn from our unbelief or our wicked ways. As we do that, God starts to bring supernatural blessings in our life. God wants to bring a supernatural blessing. So now the first thing we were talking about was we've got to pray, or we've got to commune with the Father. The second thing I was sharing with them a message ago was that we have got to be a people that push forward. Everybody say push forward. All right, what do I mean by that? We've got to be, like he said when he told Moses to go and lead the children out of Israel, or out of Egypt, that were in bondage. He says, I want you to take the children out of bondage. Tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And so we know the story as we see that he went time and time again. The heart of the Pharaohs was hardened. Finally, after a series of judgment that came down, he said, take the people and y'all go. And as they left, the children left. They came into an embankment. They came to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was a place where they stopped believing God, because they got in fear, they got in unbelief, and they turned to Moses and said, what are we going to do? Because now we see the Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened, he says, I'm going to go get my people back. And so he got all of his warriors, his soldiers, and they on chariots came and pursued after them, and they were quickly coming upon them. And they had a mountain on one side, and they had the Red Sea on the other side. They said, what are we going to do? And of course, as they were calling on the Lord, here's what the Lord said. He told Moses, he said, push forward. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense. How can you push forward? Because there's a wall or a sea in front of me. What do we do? He says, as you take a step, you're going to see the supernatural hand of God. Now I think that's why people many times don't push forward in their walk with the Lord, is because they start looking at the natural circumstances. They start looking at their inabilities. They start looking at the reason why they can't do what God said they can do. And beware, be cautious when you start saying things like that. You want a supernatural move of God? You've got to do what people that receive supernatural miracles of God do. Here's what they do. They trust the Lord beyond the circumstances. So as they took a step, as they took a step toward the Red Sea parted. They saw a supernatural miracle of God. They crossed over on dry ground. They stood upon one word, or that one phrase, and that was, push forward. Now that was a message that we need to catch hold of today. We, as people of God, we've got to push forward. Amen? We can't be lacking in the call. We've got to remind ourselves of just what I said at the beginning. We're living in the last days. Can you say amen? Amen? We're living the last days. We've got to push forward. What happens if you don't push forward? You die. What happens if you don't push forward? You complain. What happens if you don't push forward? You start looking back and you start saying, I remember what it used to be like. I remember how it used to be. I want to go back to where I used to be. You know what they were saying? I'd rather go back into bondage. Because in their mind, they're thinking the opposite of that, is that if I'd rather go back into bondage than to die right here. That's not faith. Church, we've got to be people of faith. Jesus himself got on to his own disciples many times for a lack of faith. He said, oh, you have no faith. Sometimes he said, oh, you have little faith sometimes. He's looking for a people that will be like the centurion who had great faith. That simply says, I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to trust you, God. And I'm not going to look at the circumstances. Everybody know we got a circumstance or a sense called the sense of faith? We are believers. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are faith people, so that's what we do. We just simply believe. What do? We believe. We trust God. Not looking at the circumstance, we just simply trust God. You know, it's great to trust God with something that you could do on your own. But it's even greater to trust God beyond something you can't do. In fact, let me challenge you. Start trusting God beyond what you can do. Quit saying, we can't do that. There was a day when y'all started a ministry out here in this back. Hey, I remember the day when we were walking I was walking with Pastor Mike. I remember walking around. Of course, he did it 1,000 times before I was ever involved in it. I mean, he was doing it with every, he's walked it, I'm sure, with every single one of you. If you walk this ground, you walk this parking lot. Long before there was concrete, I still remember when it was just rock before the concrete. So we was walking the parking lot, and he was speaking faith. He was talking faith. He was talking vision. He was saying, we're going to have this, and we're going to put this here, and we're going to do this here, and we're going to put this there. He was talking long before you seen any structures, long before you seen concrete people pulling up, long before you seen anything that you see right now. He was talking. Hey, listen, before this building was built, when they were in the store, walking upstairs downtown. I'm sure you've heard the story, but he was a faith man talking faith. And listen, because he kept staying the same thing and he didn't look at the circumstances, because circumstances will always tell you that's too big. That's too big. I was sharing with I had a young lady in the car with me yesterday, and we're driving back home from Greenville. And I was going to take her to the house. And as we're driving, I said, hey, let me show you a piece of property that I'm believing God for. I've already walked this piece of property. I've already called it in for faith outreach. So I'm driving up. And as we're coming up the hill, I'm driving and I say, look here. It starts right here at this pole. And I said, and as we're going up over the hill, we went for a good while down the road in this property, and I said, it's going to end right down there at that pole, right there. It goes back, and the front part where you can see is only a portion of it. This is only like a quarter of it. Most of it's behind a train track or an old train track that's beyond that. Most of that property, there was 56 acres there that I've walked and I've claimed for faith outreach. And I began to share with her what my vision was. I began to share, we're going to build a church. I said, we're going to build about a 5,000-seat auditorium. Now, let me just qualify. Right now, we're running about 100 to 150 to 170 people on an average at the church. So now we're going to build a 5,000-seat auditorium. And as that's what I was thinking. I said, and out of that, we're going to have a 24/7 prayer tower that where people can come and pray. Out of that, we're going to also have a senior residence center where people of the church, when they get to a certain age, they don't have to just go to a nursing home. They can stay right here in the church. They'll have a care center where when they're in wheelchairs and stuff, we can just roll them right on into the church. We can commune with them and fellowship with them all the time. I was just sharing, and she looked at me. And she said these words. I'm saying what she said. She looked at me and she says, "Are you kidding me? I can't believe it." Now listen, if I'm going to run with what she said, none of it's going to happen. If I take the first thing that she said, "That can't happen. That's too big. That's too much." I'm going to go, "Well, I tried." Let me tell you something. It will never happen. But we're calling it in. We're calling it in. We're calling in. We're starting where we are, but I'm believing God for something bigger than where we are. I'm declaring it out of my mouth. I like the confession you made. Y'all are calling things in, calling musicians in, calling that building completed out there. I like that. Hey, I remember y'all were calling this building completed, calling this building paid for. This building is paid for. This ministry's out of debt. That didn't happen overnight, but you started confessing it, and you started walking toward it, you started saying it, and because you said it over and over and over, you were pushing forward. You didn't stay still. You didn't go back. You pushed forward. Amen? Today, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, if I let y'all out in 25 minutes, just because I've been accustomed to preaching that long, so if you get out before the Baptist, go to the Dairy Queen. No, Pastor Mike used to say that all the time. He probably doesn't say it anymore. He does? He's the same pastor. You know, I'm just so blessed. Let me tell you, when we left some 15 years ago, I remember for a year, I came to Pastor Mike and said, I feel like the Lord's leading us out to go start a work. He said, let's pray about it. A year later, we're still praying about it, you know. So let's pray about it. So, but then the elders came and the elders prayed over us and sent us out to start a work over there. And what a blessing. It's been a blessing. It wasn't easy for us to just pick up roots and leave because this is my home. But I stay in contact with Pastor Mike. He's my pastor. I call on him on a regular basis, probably more than he wants me to call on him, for different advice and counsel, because I'm blessed. He's the father. He's my spiritual father, and so I get a lot of advice and counsel from him. Last year, we had the privilege of getting to spend a vacation with them over in Hawaii. I'm talking about suffering for Jesus. I remember the times when they were taking off. It seemed like it was just coming over our house and maybe going down to the lake, you know, and swimming and cutting a watermelon, and him singing with his guitar around the picnic table. That was the vacation, you know. Now he's in Hawaii. Y'all were doing something right over here. Amen. Could y'all send a letter over to Faith Outreach? 1 Corinthians, everybody found it? Today I want to talk to you about engaged commitments. Now, we've been talking about pushing forward. We're talking about evangelism. I'm going to talk to you today about a body of believers that gets engaged. Now, as I'm preaching this, I already know this fits you already. That you're not going to go, oh man, this is such condemnation on me because I hadn't been doing this. No, there's no condemnation here. This is something you're already doing. You've already been doing it for years. But I want you to be reminded of what you're doing. He said in verse 19, this is Paul speaking. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote 13 of the New Testament books called the Pauline epistles. Here Paul was persecuting the church, and finally on the Damascus Road had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed him, and he became an apostle to the Gentiles. And just, you talking about someone that's life was turned upside down? Should we all be like Paul? I'd say, should we all be like Jesus? But let me tell you what, Paul the apostle was fiery and passionate about the things of the Lord. He was passionate enough to not worry about the inconvenience. And many times there was inconvenience in his life. What do I mean by that? He was persecuted. No one wants to hear about the persecution. Hey, listen. He was persecuted. What do you mean, persecuted? Well, we believe that persecution comes from the devil, but you're going to be persecuted because for the cause of Christ. When I say persecuted, we're going to stand up and we're going to be like Paul. It doesn't matter. It didn't stop the gospel. The gospel is going to be spread because Jesus has already overcome the devil. He said, be of good cheer. Can you give me a big smile? Can you look around someone and give them a big smile? Show them some teeth if you got it. Praise the Lord. So Paul was passionate about the things of God, and he began to preach this message. Listen to this. He said in verse 19, "But though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, and unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." We got a gentleman in our church. He's an ex-pastor. Well, he's now one of our pastors, senior pastors in the church as far as over our 50 and above. But they pastored for years and years and years, and so the Lord has put them in our church. They're such a blessing, one of the elders of our church. But he's a King James preacher. I mean, he likes to hear the King James. In fact, when he teaches Sunday school classes, we do a kind of a rotation in Sunday school class. When it's his turn to teach in Sunday school class, he always has one person read, because as he has this other person read, he always wants them to read out of the King James. In fact, if he has you turn to a scripture, he'll actually start it off saying, does anybody have a King James in here? Then he'll have turned to a certain verse. So people get hung up on that. I noticed Chris or somebody was reading out of it. Must have been the New King James Version. We've been reading. Hey, get a version you can understand. Get a Bible. Don't say, well, I just can't understand it, so I don't read the Bible. Get a Bible you can understand and get in the Word. I'm going to read this out of the Message translation this morning, and we're going to preach out of that. But I've been preaching a lot out of the New Living translation. Tammy's gone up to Hetty Lou, which is a women's ministry up in Arkansas, and she preached out of the New Living, and she came back, and she's been preaching out of that, and I kept saying, I kept saying, well, you know, that's, you know, it's not King James. And so I find myself, because they blessed me with this iPad to put them on either side, I find myself reading it of the King James and then following it up by reading it again, the New Living. So what I'm saying is that don't be hung up on a translation. Just get the Bible and read it. Amen? Got quiet in here. You can say amen if you agree with it. In fact, I'm going to give you seven commitments to engage in. Let me tell you what the word engaged means. Engaged means to turn it on. They say turn it on. Flip the switch, okay? Turn it on. Amen? I see you're writing notes. Praise the Lord. To be connected to what is happening. To be useful or suitable for a purpose. Engaged means to be connected to the world we live in, such as the outside church, the world. We say we're connected. See, we're part of the church. It says, come out from the world and be a separate. But we are in this world to affect the change in this world. People, the world is not our enemy. The devil is. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have life more abundantly. We've got to have a heart of compassion for a lost and dying world. We want to penetrate into their sphere to minister the gospel, to bring the light of His dear Son into a dark place. Many people are deceived and they're living in darkness and they need something just like you've got, and you can affect a change in their life. You just got to reach out and minister the gospel. You say, well, I can't save anybody. I'm going to agree with you. You can't save anybody, but the Holy Spirit can. He will use the word that are coming, the word of God that's coming out of your mouth to penetrate into a darkness and cause that darkness to dispel and shine light in an otherwise dismal situation and cause people to cry out for the cause of Christ. Can you say amen? Seven commitments. Listen to this in the Message translation. He says, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, he says, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all. A servant to any and all. Here's what Paul said in the first point. Write this down. Is a commitment to serve. God's looking for a people that will say, I'm committed to serve you. You know, I remember when Jesus came in and no one had washed their feet. And Jesus took a wash basin. Remember the days of foot washings. And so it's been years since we've done anything like that in a church. But you might have done it last week. I'm not sure. But Jesus sat there and he began to wash the feet until he got to Peter. And Peter says, oh, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, you don't understand what the kingdom of God is all about. He says, except I wash your feet, you're not going to have any part of the kingdom of God. And of course, Peter responded, he says, Lord, not my feet only, but my head and my whole body. So what he was saying, Jesus had become a servant. He had learned to serve. He came from a place of lordship and king into a rulership, into a place where he would learn to serve. And he said, this is what I'm calling you to be. I'm calling you to be servants of the Most High God. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all. That's a servant or a spirit of servanthood, which is demanding, which comes from a willing heart. It's one thing to serve, and it's serve with a willing heart versus serving with a begrudging heart. I really don't like to serve with people that don't like to be there. When it just becomes a job to them. And you know those people. You know the people that are working alongside of you, and they're not serving from a heart of being effective for the kingdom of God. They're complaining, they're arguing, they wish they could be anywhere than where they are right then. You say, please, go wherever it is you want to go. You're making it miserable on everybody. See, God's looking for people that will serve Him with a glad heart. So, oh Lord, I'm willing to serve. Do you know what that means? We've got to come off our high horse. Can I say that in here? We got to come off of our high-mindedness. I'm all that. I'm such a great catch. Look at me, and become a servant. That means it doesn't matter if the Lord tells you to sweep and mop, you're willing to sweep and mop. That means in serving in a church, that means if it means we got to take care of the nursery, that tends to be the last place people really want to serve. And yet it's probably the most valuable place in a church to serve. In the nursery with the children. or in the youth group, the young adults group, serving your pastor. Say, Lord, when you recognize who I am, you recognize my talents and my strengths, and you put me in a place where I should be, then I'll serve. Instead of just saying, hey, what do you need done at the church? Hey, a heart of servanthood is someone that says, I want to serve in a capacity, and you don't have to give me any praise or credit for it. Every pastor wants to hear somebody come up to them like that. With no conditions. There's no conditions. Why? Because we have a heart to say, listen, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. Whatever capacity, I want to serve the Lord. So here's Paul. He's saying, I'm going to be committed to serve. I'm going to get engaged in serving the kingdom of God. Psalms 100 says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Make a joyful. He's looking for people with joy. Joy. I think in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the verse that people quote all the time, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He said because they understood the scriptures. When you get an understanding of the Bible, understanding of the message of the gospel, then joy comes. And it's new every morning. He goes on, he says this. He says, in order to reach, he says, I want to become a volunteer servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. A wide range of people. Christianity has to be an inclusive, or let me just say this. Serving the Lord is very exclusive, but it's a very inclusive group. When we say we want to reach a wide range of people, we got to say we want to reach human beings for the cause of Christ. Whether they're tall or short. I don't want to reach anybody but short people so I can look tall. In fact, I only want to reach big people so I can look small. No. I only want to reach white people or black people or Hispanic people. I only want to reach, you know, people with money. Or I want to reach people that live over here. Or I want to only reach people that drive this kind of car. Or go to this school. Or do this. No, we got to get all of that junk out of our minds. We got to say, I want to reach people. I just want to reach people. Be they rich or poor. Be they young or old. Be they tall or short. Be they wide or thin. It doesn't matter. I'm going to reach people. I'm going to love on people. And church, I want you to know, not everybody out there is lovely. Amen. I mean, if you were trying to reach this woman, tell me your name. Eva. See there, I told you I was going to have to ask somebody's name. She looked at me like, you know that. See, if you want to reach Eva, wouldn't that be easy? Because she's so lovely. She's easy to love. Dr. Galloway is the same way. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? He's easy to love. But not everybody is easy to love. But God wants us to reach them as well. We got a guy that started coming to the church. Actually, he started coming to the soup kitchen. And he comes in, and understand, it's just open to all people. As long as there's no problems, long as there's no fighting or anything, there's certain rules in the house to come and eat, and we've been serving a little over 4 years now. They're welcome to come. He comes, and I know he's got a lot of baggage with him. He's got long hair, paints his fingernails, he's got tattoos all up on his arms and stuff. He's looking for some attention. People would say he's kind of weird. Well, I'm telling you what, he is a little bit weird, and he presents himself that way. So he came to, he's been coming to the soup kitchen. He kind of sits by himself, all alone. We've been feeding him. We've just been loving on him. Hell, he started coming to Sunday school. Now, I'm telling you what, I mean, he just stands out big time in Sunday school because you got all these people that are all dressed up and he's coming all ragged out and with the painted fingernails and, you know, makeup on his eye. I mean, he's coming for some attention. He's sitting right there, and wasn't long before he was sitting at my table every time. He wanted to sit by me. He'd get up, find out where I was sitting. He'd sit right by me. Come to church. He started sitting on the front row. I have everybody stand up, except him. He wouldn't stand up. He'd just sit there, glare at you. We put it. It put the we've got, what do you call them, security on high alert. Matter of fact, I was sitting one service, I'm sitting on the front row, he's sitting right behind me. Someone who's in security over here told me after service, he says, I watched him the whole service. Thinking, you didn't get anything out of the service? You spent the whole time watching him? I was okay. I wasn't alarmed. But you know what? I've been watching this guy. He wanted to have a talk the other day. We brought him in, and he began to open in my office, began to share his heart. And as I began, because he would tell me little things, just little things. And I see it's not the big things, it's the little things. You say, well, you're making a difference. You're making a difference. He says, this is the first time I've had an engaged conversation with someone in like 3 months. He says, this is doing me a world of good. Just talking, just sitting on the other side of my desk. He's just talking, and I'm just listening. He says, I haven't talked to a person. I've only had to talk to myself because no one will listen to me. And so he was reaching out, and I get to listen. He began to share his story, began to share some abuses that happened in his life. And I'm telling you, it was tragic, it was sad, all of those things were took place. But you know, we just made a decision, and I told the people that worked in the soup kitchen, just love on them, just love on them. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to keep loving because we have a commitment for inclusion. We're going to include them. It doesn't matter that they look weird. God's going to change them. We had a guy that started coming to the soup kitchen who was he was heavily on drugs, had long hair, and just thin as a rail. I'm telling you, just thin as a rail. Him and his girlfriend, I could have put my hands around them. They'd just been doing drugs and stuff, heard about the soup kitchen, started coming to the soup kitchen. And now, of course, people that come on a regular basis, they're getting the word every day because at 12 o'clock we share the word with them. So they're getting it more than the church people. So they're listening to them. He accepted the Lord in the soup kitchen. His life started changing. He started coming to the church. I'm telling you what, let me just make a long story short. Now he carries a key to the church. They clean the church. They put on weight. They look good. He's witnessing to everybody. He drives the church bus. I'm telling you what, we're talking about someone that everybody else would said, no, he's just a drug addict and lost. I'm telling you what, God changed him. And he is effective in the kingdom of God because we've just decided we're going to get engaged and having a commitment to include. Number three. He says, I didn't take on their way of life. I didn't take on their way of life. You've got to have an active role does not mean that we embrace the spirit of the world. When we say we're going to take on their way, that's not what Paul is saying here at all. This is a commitment to values and examples. A commitment to values and examples. See, they're looking for someone that will set the benchmark. They're looking for someone that they can look to that's bringing that light. They're watching you, and you're the Bible that they're watching. They may not open the Bible, but they're watching you. They're listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth, and they're watching what you do on a daily basis. So he says, I'm going to have a commitment to values and example. We need to have a commitment to values and setting an example. We should not compromise our behaviors and our beliefs. It's not about whether I'm saying, Lord, I'm just going to be all things, so that means I'm going to compromise and I'm going to be just like them. I'm not going to go into a bar and start sitting down and drinking with people. Or go into a drug house and shoot up with them so that I can minister to them. No, I'm going to be constant preaching the Word of God because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for something constant in a world of chaos. They're looking for a place where there's refuge, a place that's not having a compromise. And that's the cause of Christ. That's what God is saying here, and that's what Apostle Paul is saying. We've got to be a people that's keeping the core values and our commitment to keeping the core values and living by example. Amen? He says, I kept my bearings in Christ. Number four is a commitment to a solid foundation. Man, I tell you what, we've got to wake up, church. We can't be up one minute and down the next. Always ruled by our feelings. I don't feel right today. Where people feel like that you're the person that's the eggshell. They're walking on eggshells around you. We can't be like that. We got to be a body of believers that's committed to a solid foundation. James 1 says this, that he talks about the waves of the sea. He says that a person's thinking one way and next minute they're thinking another way. That one minute they're believing, next minute they're not believing. They're like the wave of the sea. They're tossed to and fro. He said, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's looking for people that are solid in their foundation. That have a firm foundation. Well, how does that take place? Well, that's someone that comes, they hear the word, and then they go out and do the word. That's all of you that come in, you hear the word, and you don't just walk out and say, wasn't that a good message? Didn't we have a good church service today? And then put it all aside the moment the Cowboys kick off in about 5 minutes. Go Cowboys. No, I'm telling you what, you've got to have a solid foundation in your life. That foundation is built upon hearing the word and doing the word. Everybody say hearing and doing. He compared this to a man that he says a wise man is the one that hears the word and does the word. He says when he builds his house, he's building upon a firm foundation. When the winds and the waves, trouble comes, it beats upon that house, blows upon that house. That house stands. Why? Because they have a firm foundation. But those that are foolish are those that are like the foolish person that hears the word but does not do the word. He says when that same wind blows and beats upon that house, he says because it's built upon the sand with no firm foundation, it falls and it's a great fall. Church, we've got to be a firm foundation. He said, I'm going to have a commitment to a solid foundation. We need to be stable, firmly planted in the Word of God. Well, I don't know, and people say this all the time. I don't know the Scriptures like you know it. I don't know that the Bible. Let me tell you, that does not get you off the hook. I'm going to confess, I don't know, I can't quote the Scriptures like Pastor Mike. That's why I call him all the time. I don't quote the Scriptures, but I'm not off the hook. I'm still commanded to learn the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures, find out what it says, to build a firm foundation. I can't base my salvation and my firm foundation just on Sister Eva. I got to base it upon the Word of God. So we're all held accountable, we're all responsible to getting in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen? He said this, number five. I told you I was going to give you seven, so don't get nervous. Number five, he says, I entered into their world. John chapter 17, verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Many people are saying, boy, in the sweet by and by, I just can't wait till I get to heaven. All I can talk about is going to heaven. Oh, just Lord, I just can't wait to get there. Someday I'm going to get to heaven. They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. All they're thinking about is leaving this world. But God didn't design you. God didn't create you just for heaven. God created you for this earth. Can you not praise Him? Can you not witness for Him? Can you not live for Him and be satisfied in this life? That's going to take care of itself. He's gone to prepare a place for you. Heaven and the sweet by and by is going to take care of itself. You will get all of that. Quit longing to get there and stop ministering right here. We got to take the blinders off and start looking around. There's a world that needs Jesus. There's a big job to be done. Amen? A big job to be done. He said, I entered into their world. We aren't called to isolationists, but we're rather called to involvement. We've got to get involved. So I'd like to see America come back to the way it is. Well, we got to get involved. How do we get involved? We get involved even in the political system. Oh, I know you don't talk about religion and politics, but hey, you want to see the things change in the White House? Then we start putting people that's representing us that are believers that stand and believe the Word of God that live a life of have values in their life just like what you have values, and you put them in office. So that means you've got to go out and vote. Well, I just don't believe it's going to do any good. Why vote? You know, what's my one vote? You exercise your right. We have the freedom to vote. We need to get out and vote. Quit complaining if you're not voting. I know that Sister Betty would say amen to that. Number six. He said this, I tried to experience things from their point of view. I tried to experience. That's a commitment to understanding. We got to be cautious, church, not to look down our nose at people. I listened to that young man. He sat over at my desk and he began to share his life. I had an understanding of where he's coming from. Now, he still needed Jesus. He still needed, in fact, he needed Jesus before he came in my office. But I understood where he's coming from. I understood some of the things and the reasons why he was doing some things. There's a world out there that simply needs Jesus, and we understand that the drug addict and the adulterer and the pill popper and all these things. Listen, if I didn't have Jesus, I'd shoot up, I'd snort up, I'd pop up, I'd do anything to desensitize my feelings in this world. Because listen, the only thing that's ever going to satisfy, and this what everybody in the world is looking for, is satisfaction. The only thing that's ever going to satisfy you is Jesus. That's what they're really looking for. What they're really looking for when they're shooting up or when they're doing all these crazy things, what they're really looking for is Jesus. You've got what they're looking for that will clean their life up and change them and put them on a whole new walk, a whole new road. We just simply need to preach it, and we need to share it with them. So a commitment. I tried to experience things from their point of view. I tried to experience it from their point of view. Be committed to engage requires us not to be judgmental, but rather seeing the world with understanding and moved. I like this, moved with compassion. Jesus would be moved with compassion. Let me tell you what compassion does. Compassion doesn't just cause you to put your arm around them and cry with someone. You know what it does? It compels you into action to stand in faith and believe God with someone. Number 7 is a commitment to big-spiritedness. He said, I became every kind of servant there is. I remember back in the days in high school, I don't know if they still do it, I think they do, at the pep rallies. Do y'all remember the pep rallies back in high school days? They had the cheerleaders come out, and the cheerleaders had this stick. What did they call that stick? The spirit stick. And they'd run on this side. And everybody get loud over here, and then they'd run back over here, and everybody get loud. Our school started doing the class that has the most parents or grandparents at any sporting events, and we sign our name and put the grade for our child. Whoever has the most that participate in the parents and grandparents, that week they get the spirit stick. But we're talking about being engaged or engaged commitment here. He said, I became every kind of servant there is. It's not so much that we talk about being hip or being cool. It's about being big-spirited. It's about having spirit. Getting engaged in big-spiritedness means that, hey, listen, we're a cheerleader for Christ. We're a cheerleader for Christ. I mean, people, when they look at us, because of the excitement that's on the inside of us, they start longing for what we've got. Now, if they're watching us and we're just always sad and always down and always depressed and always walking around with our head down, always talking about the woe is me and the trials of this world and how hard it is and everything else, and you say, and I'm a Christian, would you like to be a Christian too? And they're going to go, I don't want any part, stay away from me, I don't want any part of that. But I tell you what, if you've got the joy of the Lord on the inside and you're passionate about the things of Christ, you're passionate about the things of God, every time you get on a conversation, somehow, some way, it comes back to talking about how good God is and the blessings of the Lord. When it all comes around, they start saying, man, there's something different about you. I want what you've got. See, that's what Paul was saying. He says, I have learned to be or committed, or I've been engaged in a commitment to big-spiritedness because I am learning to be fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm learning how to throw out the net. I'm learning how to draw people in. John chapter 12 and verse 12 says, and if I, talking about the Lord Jesus, be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know how we draw men? Listen, you get excited about the things of God. You get excited about the things of God and it will draw people. Instead of you saying, well, it's hard for me to reach out. Listen, they'll seek you out. Let me invite you to stand to your feet this morning. This is the business that we're in, church. We have to be committed to engage, to take that step out. We've got to take the stops off. We quit saying, I can only do so much. Quit limiting God. God can do so much more in your life. We've got to press further. Make prayers like this. Say dangerous prayers. Lord, I'm going to come up to a new level. I'm going to come to a new level. You say, well, I tell you what, I'm topped out. We think we're topped out. I tell you, start praying. Put a commitment to say, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. I want more of you in my life. I want the glory of the Lord. I'd like the Shekinah glory to fall upon me. Is it all about you? No, it's all about everybody. I want the glory of the Lord on me so that it can go not just on me, but through me and to someone else.